Tuesday, March 12th, 5:30, calling to order a meeting of the Kituit Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners. The meeting is being recorded. Present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Zeiss.
Chief Root.
Good. First order of business is public comment.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if you could postpone public comment to the end of the meeting, if I should have any questions regarding what you're discussing this evening.
I would rather not, because it may go on for some time with what's on the agenda, and I'm going to try to keep this as moving along as quickly as possible.
Okay, then I have a question. On tonight's agenda, it says that you're going to discuss the proposed budget. On tonight's agenda, it says you're going to be discussing the proposed budget for the fire department. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I'd like to know how you're discussing the proposed budget for the fire department post the March meeting of the Prudential Committee, where your committee was supposed to present their budget to the Prudential Committee, which was held on on March 6th. It was listed on their agenda. The water department representative was there, along with the water department superintendent, and Chief Rude, fire chief, presented your proposed budget. Thank you.
Okay. I'll respond to that. We all individually have met with Chief around budget issues prior to that meeting and worked out a tentative draft. That's what was presented to the Prudential Committee. Our meeting tonight is to go over that draft and consider changes, options, feedback. It will be our first chance as a group to discuss it.
Fran Parks, Prudential. I just want to say that when they came with their budgets, I requested draft budgets.
Right, this is still just a working draft. No other public comment. We proceed to review and approval of previous meeting minutes. We've all received a copy of the minutes from February 12th. I have no problem with them as drafted.
I read them. I wasn't here. Right. So it was news to me. That was fine. Sorry. I listened to the recording as well.
Oh, God bless you.
All good.
Okay. Move we accept them as written.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Conley.
Zeiss.
All right. While we're on this, I had, in line with both written and audio versions of the minutes, I had thought that we were going to be able to get the audio of last month's meeting up quickly. You were away, and neither Chris nor I could get it to
The process by which that happens is a little complicated, and I thought I had put it up before I left, and I guess I didn't, but I put it up.
Okay. Yeah. Is there?
Chris has asked me if I would teach her, and I can teach her. We'd need to have a piece of software. I don't know if she can. But I'll go sit with her and see if she can do that. But you have to edit it and shrink it. Not edit it, but you have to trim
it. Compress it.
You have to compress it, and there's It's not like absolutely if you follow step 1, 2, 3, 4, it'll all work. So mm-hmm. it's a little trial and error sometimes. So.
I see. Okay. All right. Yeah, I thought it would be pretty straightforward, but.
Well, what happens, especially of late, these meetings have gone a lot longer, so you have to flip all the dials. And it's complicated. It's the.
Okay.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Glad I'm not doing it. Okay. Moving on to the chief's report. By the way, let me pass this to you. That's the approved copy so we can get posted.
Good. Responses. Last month, 57 total responses for January. No, it's February, right? February, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 37 medical, yeah, 22 hazardous condition, and 18 service content or false alarm calls. Administration, I still haven't got back the customer post-incident survey form from Pro EMS. I just kind of slipped through the cracks, so I don't have it. Chris Dolly's setting up community coffee. I have a date to be determined. She's looking at April to be the first time. So I put an email out to other town departments to see if there was any interest in the rest of the town doing this as a rotating type function, but I got zero responses back, so I guess we'll just do it on our own. The police chief said he'd like to come to it as well, so we'll put out invitations for them to come to ours if nobody else wants to have one, and we're looking to do one maybe every 2-3 months. So we'll put in the first one in April, put our public invitation out on Facebook and anywhere else we can advertise it, have invite our representatives to town councilor, town manager, police chief, anybody else, harbor master, and see if people from the community want to come in and have a cup of coffee and see the station and chat. So it'll be particularly important with this new proposed addition, so people can see the station at the same time.
Right.
Training. Lieutenant Amento and Firefighter Staggs went to FCAMP training. It's the Fire Chiefs of Massachusetts. They put on a 3-day training conference every year. I would have liked to have gone, but it just didn't work with my schedule, and the two of them were interested in going, and they went up to that. It's in Worcester. So it was in Worcester. It's a 3-day conference. They've got various classes they can choose to go to. There are, dealing with terrorism events, school evacuation events, classes. I think there was a class on dealing with the new OSHA regulations. There's various, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but there's dozens of classes they take while they're there. It's a really good training opportunity, so.
That's good. I was pleased to see that our latest hire participated.
Yeah, he's great. We're a really good pickup, and he's very interested in that any kind of training, especially public education. He's been out with us to go through the stepping stones and some other things, and he's really good with the public, so
terrific.
I hope he's going to take an interest in going in that direction. Casey Staggs. He's our newest firefighter paramedic we hired last summer. He did, yes. Yeah, he brought his two girls in and his wife came in. Yep, he's working out very well. There's a trauma symposium in Falmouth. I forget what day it was. It was last week. I think half the department went to that. So that was a good training conference. And next week is a Chris Dolly going to public safety educator training. It's a requirement through the grant. So she puts in grants for the Senior Safe Grant, and it's a requirement that someone in the department is trained to that level. So she's been doing the training at the Senior Center, at the daycares and other things, and she's the one who puts the grants on, so she's going to go get certified by the state to be a public safety educator.
Good. So I got some good feedback about the training that she did in Hyannis.
For which one, the Senior Center?
No, at the
hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's also has been doing, I think, one of the Calm, Kathleen Butt from Calm Fire, the two of them are putting on a car seat training program for the maternity centers of, I think, both Cape Cod and Falmouth Hospital.
Yeah.
So they go over monthly and do a training for the new mothers and fathers for car seat installations and operations.
Good.
Yes. The Pro EMS report is attached.
Oh, here, while we're still on training, I just want to mention, you had brought up at our last month's meeting that Pro EMS, through their Prodigy Division, was having an open house, which I got to go to the next week. And I want to say that the training modules and their format, I found very impressive, what they are able to do and how they do it and how rapidly they are constantly updating these modules really was impressive, and it means that there's no more pre-canned training modules that you can see 3, 4, 5 years in a row, and people gonna have them memorized before they're changed. This is a really slick process to keep things really current and varied. I was impressed.
No, it's working out really well. I think pretty much every day I walk into the station, during some point during the day, I see somebody online doing a training program on Prodigy. So it's getting a lot of use, and for $100 per person per year, it's a really inexpensive training solution. So, so Pro EMS, the same company that does the Prodigy, their report's attached. Ray gave me some numbers. So we looked at the first 6 months of this fiscal year, FY 2019, and compared it to the previous FY 2018 first 6 months. And the reason we did that is we switched to Pro EMS billing last February. We figured it takes a couple months for everything to kind of settle in and work, so we're looking at January to December.
This is the
billing, so how much money we collected in billing for our services. So the billing, the previous fiscal year was $106,000 for that period. This year is $156,000, so it's up about 42% for about the same amount of calls. So that's a huge increase in billing. I inspired mentioned they're seeing about the same. Mm-hmm. They're seeing a tremendously higher number in receipts for bills. So that's going to make a difference. Ray's working on see if he can count that for the tax rate, so it'll offset any increase in tax rate.
Great.
Personnel. So Chris Dolly's job description. We talked last month about what Chris Dolly actually does, you asked me to make proposals to her job description to include what she actually does. So her job description before was, I think it was office manager, EMS facilitator, or something of that effect. I can't remember the exact name. So we took that job description and we added the increased duty she performs. And we also contacted our legal staff and talked to them about how we should word this job description. Their suggestion was to change the title to executive assistant, and they suggested some other language in there, specifically about her being a call EMT and how that would be transitioning between the two jobs. And they suggested there's some language that they wanted in there about some of the other stuff things we're going to use her for and how that fits into the organization. So this was a lot of this was their suggestions. A lot of it's what she actually does. She's kind of filled the gap that I've got ability to do some stuff, but I don't have the time to do lots of things. She's taken on typically what might be a deputy's job, some of the functions there. She's doing many of the EMS functions, and she's doing the grant writing. She's getting more involved in procurement. So we're going to have her take the procurement classes through the state so she can be a certified procurement officer. That's part of the new job description.
So the EA one?
Yeah, the EA one. So the highlighted, the yellow is the changes. So the first paragraph has some language about, and this is language the lawyer suggested, that if the EA, the executive assistant, yeah, it is. If the person in this position is also a call firefighter or a call EMT, they may transition to that function without loss of pay or time. That's what that is. And then further on,
Chief, just a clarification there, though. It does call out that if they do transition, they will not be paid anything additional, correct?
Correct. So if this person is working as the executive assistant during the day and they happen to be a call EMT or a call firefighter and we need them in that capacity, they can transition to that capacity without losing pay, but they also don't get double paid. So they're only getting paid once for that hour
or 2 hours. How are we going to track that? Is there a log that we're going to?
Yeah, every call that's performed has a log of the time the call started, the time it finished, and who was on it. So she will be tracked on every call. You don't need to track her time because she's not getting paid extra for that time. She gets paid a 40-hour work week, or
right.
34 for us and 6 for Prudential.
So is this going to, what kind of increments of time are we going to look at? Is hours, half hours, going back and forth?
Right.
What's the reality of the cost?
The reality is it's not going to be more than once a day. At the most, it's probably once every other day. At the most, I can't have her go on one call a year and expect her to be competent. So she needs to go times when we actually don't need her, and she's going to be there in a training capacity at the same time. during the day, we don't need to track I mean, we will track hours because she's logged on the call, start, finish of the call, but she's paid from, you know, the 8 hours of the day, so from whatever it is, 9 to 5, she paid for that amount of hours of the day. The only time we have to track for payroll purposes is if we use her in an off-duty time. So if she comes back after working hours, so in the evening, at night, at another time, and we use her in the capacity as a call firefighter, then she gets compensated hour for hour as a call firefighter.
Or be a call EMS.
Call EMT, because she's not a firefighter. EMT. She's only an EMT. Correct.
So
EMS.
The hourly rate is presumably different, right?
No.
It's not. It's the same.
According to Mass State law, if someone is a 40-hour employee hour and they are work anything, any additional hours for the same employer, you have to pay them time and a half of their existing pay. Same as the firefighters. So the firefighters, if they come back off duty, I have to pay them time and a half for any extra hours above and beyond their normal work week. So it's state law.
The rate of pay for her as an executive assistant is $10 an hour for 10.
Okay.
And get a good deal for that. And what would be the rate of pay for her as an EMT?
I don't have it. I think the EMTs make $15 an hour, I think.
So it's potentially different than what she makes.
Oh, it's definitely different, yeah. I think her pay as an executive assistant currently is about $26 an hour, I think.
Right. It seems.
And I think a call EMT or call firefighter EMT is about $15 an hour, I believe, yes. But I can't pay her $15 an hour, so against state law. I have to pay her, if she comes back after work, if we use her in that capacity, I have to pay her time and a half, so 26 times 1.5, which is 39 an hour. Follow that logic?
So the rate of pay that she's getting as an executive assistant is higher per hour than...
Than an EMT. Than a call person, correct.
So if she performs the duties of an EMT, she's not being paid at that rate, she's being paid at the higher rate than the executive assistant.
Yes, that's exactly right. I think they ran into this years ago. There was a water department employee that also was a call firefighter. And they did the same thing. They had to get paid at their time and a half, their water department hourly rate, when they functioned as a call firefighter.
So how does time and a half work?
State law, if you work, most people, it's 40-hour work week. So anybody that works over 40-hour work week, any hours over 40,
okay,
are paid
yeah,
at
right.
one and a half times your rate. So if you're making $26 an hour, your time and a half would be $39 an hour. For hour 41, 42,
yeah.
40.
For the sake of the example, for my little key brain, it's just 40 hours. She's either for eight-hour day. She goes out for an hour as an EMT. So 7 hours is an EA, and 1 hour is that.
Right.
It's the same pay.
Yeah, she just gets her regular salary. She doesn't get any extra money for doing that, correct? She gets no extra money. She doesn't get docked money for changing to a job that typically gets paid lower. But she doesn't make any additional money.
But if she stays on for an extra hour at the end of the day, that makes it 41 hours. Her rate for that next hour?
Rate for the next hour would be $39 for the hour.
$39 an hour. Versus the 15 that what a regular call EMT would be.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. I think I understand. I understand what is being said.
I don't anticipate her being used in that capacity very often. Most of the time, what we're going to use her, she's going to be doing it while she's at work. So when she's at work, if the engine crew goes out and the three people on duty go off in the engine to wherever, to Mashpee, to Centerville, or somewhere else, and a medical call comes in, the two of us are going to jump in the ambulance and we'll go do the medical call. Or maybe there's a standby person that comes in and she helps us out too. So it's a big benefit to us to have someone in the station during the day to help us out in that capacity, especially in the summertime, because summertime we don't have a lot of people come back off duty to help us out.
I take that point. my concern is that we, why would she do that, actually? I mean why would she want to be doing this, the EMT thing?
Why would she want to be an EMT?
Yeah.
Honestly, the reason she became an EMT, she was sitting in this room for one of these commissioner meetings about a year ago, and her job was an EMS coordinator.
Yeah.
And someone in the audience gave her a hard time and said, you're not even an EMT. Why do you have the right to do this job? So she said, well, I can do that. I can be better trained in my job and be better at my job, and that's what she did. She on her own went out and on her own time took the EMT class and got trained to be an EMT at night, on weekends.
And I guess the questions that I'm sure we're going to get are, instead of having, you know, paying someone as an EMT, we're now paying someone more than an EMT for the time that they're providing that service to the district during, you know, non-overtime hours.
Right. Right, but we're still paying this person less than if we had a firefighter come in off duty. That's our problem, is we don't have a lot of people coming in off duty to help us out. So this is a benefit to us. So there are times, you know, during the winter when we might get 3 people or 4 people that come back to standby. Summertime, we might get 1. We might get none. Chief. And having her there to function in that capacity is less expensive.
Chief,
and
quick question.
Yes.
From a call point of view, how often do we get somebody responding from a call point of view?
As a call firefighter?
Yep.
We only have 1 call firefighter right now, and that person actually just got hired somewhere else. So, and we've only had that person for, I don't know, 10 months. So that person would come in once, twice a week maybe. Maybe twice a week at the most.
Maybe they come in twice a week?
Maybe, okay. Yeah. And that's a person that doesn't work there, so that's during the day too.
Sure.
This position is 40 hours a week during the week, so none of those day hours are paid. They're not. I mean, they're
right,
paid.
I don't think
not
any,
additional
I,
pay.
I'm going to speak for myself. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have any issue relative to the day hours. Right.
Right.
I think it's a logical thing, so I'm good
right
there. The thing I'm kind of held up on a little bit now is once
off duty.
Off duty, and hours start to pile up at $39 an hour.
Right.
So
honestly, we need a guideline that says when that's allowed to happen, and I don't have that, so
right,
we can approve a guideline at the next meeting that proposes when we use her in that capacity off duty.
Right, and it could be also limits put on the amount of hours,
yeah,
right, approved by the chief and all that.
Sure.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, we can.
But I guess what I wanted to ask though is if say 3 firefighters came, if the, you know, station coverage is usually for what, 3 if possible, 3 people or 2 people.
The current union contract for the union firefighters is, once I put it out, I've got to put it to everybody. I can't
nope
restrict it to 3.
No case. Okay.
I would like 3 back. That's the optimal number, is to get 3 back. But the way the contract works, once I put it out, I have to invite all of them to come back. Typically, we this time of year, we may get 2 or 3. Summertime, we may get 1.
So then we could put some type of a guideline in there for
yes
this position.
Oh, we absolutely should do that, because right now it's for right now I just want to use this person during the day, but I'll put a guideline to you to tell you when we'll use her off duty. And I think there are times when we're getting nobody back, and if I can get her back, at least I get 1 body to help.
Not to screw with you,
yeah,
but we could put a guideline in that says
yes
in the event that 2 firefighters have returned,
yes,
you know, responded,
yep,
then the call EMT would not be eligible to respond, whatever the
yes
terminology.
Yeah, we could certainly do that. Yep. There's no contract that precludes us from restricting
right
or allowing any hours at all. And I'll come back with a proposal to you next week on operational proposal on when call EMTs will be called in for service.
And I would add that in the summertime, when it is very hard to get station coverage, was someone to come back on call, one of the union firefighters, you're paying them at their time and a half rate, which is measurably higher. So even in that comparison, at the times when it is most useful, we can affect the savings.
I think I share Kevin's, I don't know whether he's sharing mine or I'm sharing his. This seems problematic around to me, and I worry about, you know, just sort of the, you know, sort of an increasing amount of, you know, school creep, if you will, for a pay. And that's my concern. You know, just I don't know how to fix it.
Well, I think
other than to express it as bad.
I think with the right guidelines, I think that can be nullified. I think Commissioner Pisano makes a good point that if the firefighters are coming back, then the rate of pay they're coming back at is higher than that in the case.
What is their rate of pay when they come back?
It depends on
I think it averages $60 an hour. I guess the average. Yeah, I can pull up my computer, but I'm pretty sure it's plus $60 an hour. I've got it for every single fiscal year. And the problem is we're not getting enough of them back. This is a big deal. And to have one more person that helps us out, especially during the day, is a big deal. And I know she's just EMS, but most of our, you know, large percentage of our calls are EMS. So even if she was the only one that came back, she could take the pickup truck and go to a medical call and start aid until an ambulance got there. So it's, you know, having her trained to that level is a pretty significant deal for us. It helps us out quite a bit. And yeah, we don't pay as a call EMT, but we have someone that's there a lot of the time that has the ability to jump into that position. So I think it's a pretty good deal for us, honestly.
I do think we need to have tight guidelines on this, but
that
sounds like a really good thing.
Well, we can restrict it for right now for just daytime hours, so there's no approved off-hour operation in this call EMT position until we have guidelines that are approved by you guys. I have no problem doing that, and she's not ready to go in that off-duty time right yet anyways. I want her to have some time with people on duty during the day before we get to that next level. So,
Chief, if I may, I'd like to say I think it's great that she did that. I think her initiative in going to do it for whatever reasons, including her desire to serve the community, is phenomenal, so I think that's great. And I'm glad you worked on it with her to get the concept and to bring it forward. I'm in support of it. I just want to make sure that we have the right guidelines around what the out after hours and potential hours is. That's all.
Right. And I'll bring that back to you next week. I don't think we have to hold off on this for that because that's a separate guideline of when call people are used and how we use them. We don't have that guideline. I'll bring that back to you next week because she's going to be our only call person. So but I'll have something, a proposal for you that hopefully makes sense, and if it doesn't, we'll make sure it makes sense together. We go to the rest of the highlighted stuff, the changes, is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. The abbreviated is EEA Executive Assistance. So it says the EEA shall have access to confidential information, including but not limited to collective bargaining strategy, the district position on litigation, and other pending issues. The EEA shall be public safety educator, promoting safety awareness and fire safety supplies and seminars to the community. EEA shall be a car seat technician, conduct safety checks and community programs for correct installation and safety of car seats. EEA shall apply for grants, including Safe Grant for Seniors. The EEA will become a procurement officer, obtaining a certification within a period to be determined during the career development process. And then lawyer talk. If the needs of the district change, the district reserves the right to amend this job description.
There was under. Let's see where it is. I've written it down under duties. Am I looking at the wrong?
I think that's the EMT.
EMT job position.
Oh, right, it is.
Does.
Right, and items 6 and 7 in that, I didn't understand why they were separated. It looked like it was one.
Are we leaving the EA and going to the other one?
Well, I think we finished this one unless you have questions about it.
No, I don't. Is there?
We want to go over this first, is that all right? And then we talk about the call position separate? It's two different issues, does that work?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So would there be a vote we would take on this?
So
I would think.
I guess I would ask you to approve the job description for executive assistant, and then I think maybe before we take the vote, we talk about pay for the position, or by suggestion.
How are we going to work these guidelines in a more time-sensitive manner for this, work on these guidelines?
So you're talking about the guideline for off-duty response?
Yeah.
So the guideline for off-duty response, I will put something together. It'll be in the cloud directory for you guys to look at before we come to the next meeting, and I'll come in here with a proposal that says, I would like to use this position and call this person back off-duty in these particular circumstances.
From a standpoint of, oversight duty, do we approve things? We know that there needs to be a guideline on this. I think we've all expressed, at least I have expressed that we need, it seems like maybe putting the cart before the horse to vote on this without those.
So there's just a comment there, if I may?
Yes.
The statement in the first paragraph, if the EA also holds the appointed position to call firefighters. So that's an if. That's something that would have to be voted on by this board. So to have that memorialized in here is absolutely appropriate and have it voted on prior to, because the person has not been put into that position. So there's a statement in there that would potentially apply or not apply to somebody who's not been appointed.
Right, and that's the next topic, I guess. These are kind of two different topics. So her position as EA, executive assistant, is a different topic to the call EMT position. We've got language in this that she could function in either, but...
All right, so for the sake of clarity, what we're doing is we're establishing two positions.
We're establishing two positions.
Who might fill those positions.
Correct.
We're just saying, okay, this is the language for this
right.
position. We haven't determined pay for the position and our guidelines.
Right.
It's not like we're granting someone a job. We're just...
No. The next proposal we're going to come up with is the call EMT, and we're going to go over that job description, and I would ask you to appoint a specific person to that position, but we haven't got to that yet. This is just about the executive assistant position and the increased duties and how we compensate that. We can hold off if we decide to on the call EMT, we can hold off on that or not.
Is it increased duties of executive assistant?
Yes.
Okay.
So the executive assistant is doing things that weren't reflected in the job description.
So these highlighted areas are additions to the current.
They reflect what she's currently doing, yes. They weren't reflected in the initial job description. They're filling duties that were kind of open holes that I wasn't able to do. She's been able to step in and accomplish some of these areas.
Okay, so.
Which are above and beyond what were in her job description.
So if I had a before and a two side by side things, these are.
The yellow is the new, yeah.
The new stuff.
The yellow is the new.
The gray is
existing. Yes.
With that clarification, I would move that we would accept the description of this position of executive assistant.
Second.
Any additional discussion?
Just a question. I don't see any proposed changes in benefits and or salary in the description. Is there some?
That's correct. It's not in there. The lawyer recommended we do that. The job description is separate from a memo of understanding setting the salary for the year. So I would like to bring that up as well. I mean,
The next fiscal year,
so yeah, starting July 1st. Yes.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, I can.
All right. We have a motion. It's been seconded. In favor, Pisano.
Conley.
Zase.
Carried. Next step, Chief.
Compensation for this position. Can we talk about compensation, how we want to compensate this position? Would that be okay?
Okay. Is that part of the...
This stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's part of that. So in the budget presentation I put in, I put the same exact rate of increase as the firefighters contract had.
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
It was a placeholder. That's not what I'm proposing for a pay. That was just a placeholder. I didn't to present as a draft because we haven't discussed it as a group yet. So now we're here to discuss it. My proposal would be we currently pay, I think the current pay on there was
for the fiscal year.
Our pay for last year was budget $46,765. And my proposal would be to bring her to $51,000. We pay her for 34 hours a week, and the Prudential pays her for the other 6 hours a week.
I'm confused.
Sure.
So I see $46,765 is the fiscal year 19 budget.
Look at the one you're looking at. No, I just got. I tried to print it up 10 different ways so that we're all on the same page. It gets confusing.
Normally
so
we get a chance to sit down.
Yeah. So we currently, the current budget for her is FY 2000 budget is $46,765. That was her line item budget for her.
And
for
then
her
I
position.
See the proposed of $48,07.
That was based because I wanted it before it, until we spoke and talked about an increased salary commensurate with the job description, I wanted to put something in there that was reasonable.
That's a placeholder.
It was a placeholder.
The 4807.
That was just a fictional number placeholder I put in there. I put it at the same rate of increase that the union contract had for the union firefighters so that it was something to present to the budget.
So what is the actual number that you think would be appropriate?
$51,000, which is a
$51,000?
Yep.
And that's an increase of how much?
9%, 9.06%. That's a $4,200 increase, I think, per year. So the Prudential pays her about $9,000 a year. She ends up a total of $60,000 a year. She's performing many of the jobs that a deputy would perform, which would be a lot more money. She's performing a lot of administrative jobs.
Deputy
fire chief. She's performing a lot of managerial tasks. Procurement officer. I mean, many procurement officers make six figures. I think most of them do. She's been doing procurement. I think it's reasonable given her 3 years in the position and her what she's adding as a service to the department. It's like a $4,200 increase. $4,200 something, yes.
Quick question there.
Yes.
From a grant point of view, how much has she brought in grants this year? Do you have an idea of that?
I think it's $2,600 she brought in this year and last year as well.
Okay.
She's applied for more. Her and the EMS officer put in for, I think, a $50,000 grant for new stretchers and loading systems. But so far, I think she's put right on 2,600 both years.
Okay.
Is there any data that you can look at or that have you looked at about comparables of this kind of a position? And is there actually a comparable position in other fire districts?
There's really not. We're so small. We're trying to, everybody kind of shares jobs. So she's doing a lot of administrative stuff that other departments don't. So her current salary is, on average, the same as other fire departments' executive assistants, but she's doing much more than they are. So I think the executive assistant at comms making about what she's making right now. So I'm saying she's doing significantly more, and we're asking for $4,000 more, $4,200 a year. $51,000 for that we would pay her for the 34 hours a week. And the Prudential would pay the additional $9,000 for the 6 hours a week that she does for them, for a total of $60,000 between the two departments.
So, Chief, let me ask you, maybe you've run these numbers. As a general question, with the exception of the administrative assistant number, which is going to be 51,000 versus 48, up 3,000 from that estimate, thereabouts, are there any other numbers that in your proposal is significantly changing?
So just
at a high level.
The budget overall, the only other number that significantly changes here that the other firefighter line item. It's called salary wages other firefighter. That's proposed to be a $25,000 increase, which is 250%. And we'll discuss that when we get the budget, I guess.
We can discuss it early
if you want.
No, I guess.
But other than that, there's no other significant increase. I mean, all the salaries are contractual. There is really no room for any movement in there.
So where I was going with that, Chief, I just wanted to verify. So we have an overall, and I know we haven't got to this yet.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead a little bit. We have an overall budget increase this year, 4.05%.
Approximately, depending on what we talk about. Yeah, we can lower that if we change the other firefighter down. Right. Yes, right now we do.
Okay.
Yep.
So the, my question.
If we go with the $51,000, we end up with exactly a overall of. Oh, it's the wrong page.
That wasn't. That's the percentage. The increase wasn't figured. So it's 4.9%.
You go to the back and look overall,
yeah.
And that's where it's 4.05.
I see that there.
I think it's 4.2. That goes in there. I think it's 4.20.
Okay. You think it becomes 4.20?
I think it does. I'll give you 2 seconds when my computer comes up.
So do we want to, are we putting a motion on the table for this?
Yes, we will be.
Okay. From my perspective, Chief, I think she's done a wonderful job. I think the additional responsibility she's taken on has been very positive. So I, for one, think that is an appropriate change in salary based on the new conditions of her responsibilities.
Thank you. I think so. She's really put a lot of work in and it makes a significant difference there every day.
I've been impressed with the both the grants that have already been brought in, but also the ones that the one that she wrote with Shane and the others that we talked about that we're investigating. Having somebody who can bring that outside money is pretty valuable.
My suggestion for the motion would be we compensate her $60,000 a year between us and Prudential and decide how that's split. Right now it's 34 hours for us, 6 for them, but I haven't got a commitment from them. Right now I think they're budgeting $9,000 or $8,500. But this can... That's the on how exactly you word that. Separate conversation. So
yes,
leave it at
50.
Leave it at 51, then make that proposal, and then go from there. That's fine. And I'll work it out with them. If there's some change, I'll come back to you and request something different.
All right. Well, we don't always have to agree to it.
No. We'd move that we accept a proposal of this raise that would change that line item. Reflecting a raise of $4,200 in regard to the new position description. Do I have a second?
Second.
No other discussion?
No.
A vote? I will vote in favor.
Conley, concur.
I will vote aye.
Okay. So the motion carries 2-1. Next step.
That's with no disrespect to Chris.
No. Next under personnel is the call EMT position. So we've had call EMTs in the past. We weren't able to locate any job description for a call EMT, so we took the call firefighter EMT and basically took all the fire out of it. So this is the result.
Let's say that again fast.
We took the call EMT firefighter position and took the firefighter duties out of it. So it's a call position for someone that's just an EMT. It's something that's been done in the past. It's been appointed. There have been people that function in this position.
Is Calm
have nobody has call? Nobody has. Calm has no call people. Hyannis has no call people. West Barnstable has call firefighter, EMTs, and medics. I'm not sure if they just call EMTs. They might. There are very few call positions left in on the Cape. They're increasingly hard to keep people trained, hard to keep them employed. They move on to full-time jobs very quickly. It is a tremendous amount of training that goes into keeping someone up to the standard, and it's hard to have someone do that for a very limited role. So, but the lawyer suggested we separate these jobs into two positions. She said that was the cleanest, easiest way to do it. They're functioning on two job descriptions. So this is what we came up with. So I would ask that you approve the description, and I'd ask that you appoint firefighter Christina Dolly to the position of call EMT is what my request would be.
So it's two separate issues,
right? So you're right.
I reviewed the position description for the call EMT. I don't have any problem with it as written.
Nor do I.
Then I would make a motion that we accept this as a position description for potential staffing. Do I have a second?
Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
Please.
Okay.
Next, I would make a recommendation or request that we appoint Christina Dolly to the position of call EMT.
Chief, we're going to need to put some caveats around that, right?
Sure.
Until we figure out some things. So if we, I would throw out that if we would do a motion on this one today, that it would be a call EMT during normal working hours.
I agree.
For purposes of today. Mm-hmm. And then as a side comment to that, the chief will get, we'll work on some guidelines, but that would be part of the motion, obviously.
Right.
That way we can.
Perfect. Yeah, I agree.
Get her executing against it, still while maintaining a level budget conversation and understanding what the budget is for now.
No, I'm fine with that. Adam?
Yep.
Move that we make the appointment of Chris Dolly to the call EMT position for hours that are overlapping with her regular scheduled work week. Do I have a second?
Second.
In favor, Pisano?
Conley.
Zeis. I have a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the 34.
Yes.
That she took. Not the 9 or the 6 in credential. Just the 34 that she's the executive assistant at the firehouse.
Right.
Yeah. Next is apparatus. Had a little surprise. We had the mechanic, our mechanic, come in and look at 263, our older pumper engine, pumper truck, and found out that it has the tank supports are completely rotted out in it, and the pump panels rotted out in it. This was something that was supposed to be done a long time ago. There was $50,000 appropriated in our budget. I don't even know what fiscal year. It was several years ago. It was supposed to have some work done to the cabinet doors and the tank supports fixed and the pump panel fixed. When I got here, everybody seemed to think it was done. What I was told is the truck was brought to Minuteman Fire Apparatus in Walpole, and they fixed it. Well, they fixed the outer door and made it look pretty, but nobody ever asked them to fix the tank supports or the pump panel. So, and they used the money out of apparatus maintenance, so they never touched the $50,000 in the article, the appropriated money. So, a little surprised we didn't know this was the case. We had a mechanic come in last week because we had problems. The truck was having problems going in and out of pumps. So we had to come in, and he said, "Well, your pump panel's rotted out." And he said, "Well, while he's there," he said, "Oh, by the way, you guys never fixed these tank supports that I told you had to get fixed years ago." So, the money was never turned back in. It's still appropriate. It was still a $50,000 article that we can fix it with. So we will be very quickly. We had a guy come down Monday to work on a quote. I haven't got the quote yet. But the numbers the mechanic were throwing around were $20,000 to $30,000. And that the truck, other than that, was in great mechanical shape. So other than that, the engine is in great shape. Everything else is in good shape. He doesn't think, once we fix the tank supports and the pump panel, he doesn't think we'll have a problem keeping this thing going at least another 5 years. So good news that that we only have one part, and good news that the money that was appropriated for this is still available to do the work. So it just didn't get done somehow.
Chief, you said there was $50,000 appropriated, and there's probably $20,000 worth of work?
20 to 30, yeah.
20 to 30, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So should, I haven't got the quote back, but the mechanic's guess was, the mechanic we have doesn't do this work. This has to go somewhere, and they got to take it apart, take the poly tank out of it, replace the angle iron supports, and put it all back together again, and then use a computer to cut out a new pump panel for it. So,
do we have an option of taking it somewhere besides Minuteman?
Yeah, the company that came down that gave the quote, I think, was R&M Restoration out of Whitman. It's a different company. And we'll obviously have to get multiple quotes at that level of money, so we'll probably get a quote from Minuteman, too, just because they're probably easy to get a quote from, or they probably already quoted it, and for some reason someone told them not to do it. No, probably not Mako, yeah. It's not a paint problem. They got to take it apart, so just some sandblasting and welding work on it, so...
How long would you imagine it would be out of service?
My guess is a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks.
But for all intents and purposes, it's out of service now, right?
Yeah. I asked him to give me he was in yesterday, and I was out yesterday afternoon. I said, I want to know two things: what it's going to cost, and if it's safe to drive down the road. And I haven't got the answer yet, so I don't know. I mean, it's safe to drive down the road. Will it do more damage to the tank? Possibly. So I got to find that out. It might come out of service tomorrow.
Yeah, one of the supports lets go.
Yeah. It might be, yeah. Yeah, but it was something that was identified a long time ago, 3-4 years back, and just never got done for some reason, so don't know why.
Would you please make a formal query to Minuteman?
Yeah, I'll find out.
What explanation they have about why it wasn't done?
The employee that brought it there no longer works here anymore, so he's the one who personally drove it there and told them what to do, so I will ask them what they were told, but yeah.
But I think we'd all be curious to find out what they were
doing. Yeah, I would love to find out, and I don't know why they didn't use any of this article money for that work, so it just...
When the truck was brought back from that trip, we were told that the work was done and that it came in significantly under budget. And
I bet it did, yeah. I bet it did come
under
budget.
I would assume.
Not surprising. We didn't do anything. Came in under budget.
Yeah. I think they fixed some outside cabinet doors, some rust on some outside cabinet doors. I was told that was done.
Okay.
That's not really...
No, that's...
So that's where we are there. By next meeting, we'll have quotes and hopefully have it ready to go. So, facilities, kind of a lot going on there. The district facilities or space study has been going on. The architects have been working very hard on plans. I sent you guys a PowerPoint. Has everybody seen that?
Yeah.
So they've come back to us with a couple different interior designs. All the designs... I don't know if we've talked about this, all the designs have an addition on the side of the building with the lot that the district purchased, and the addition has the firefighter living office quarters in it. And the idea was to turn the existing first floor of the fire station back into district space, which is what it was intended to be. When the station was done 30 years ago, we didn't have any overnight firefighters, there weren't any need for bunk rooms. Those bunk rooms were offices. They were prudential offices with handicap access, handicap bathrooms, and handicap parking. So that's the idea, is to turn it back into what it was intended to be and move the firefighters out to a newer addition on the side of it. Like I said, there have been multiple drawings of interior layouts, all very similar. They expect to have a price back in April. April, we should be getting some cost estimates back from the engineers. We give a presentation to the Civic Association Executive Board last week, I think.
It sounded like that was a good debate.
Yeah, so there were some questions brought up, and some of them I didn't have answers for. I wasn't involved in this process really early. This was started kind of as a prudential process looking for space for the treasurer and assistant treasurer. And some of the questions were, why didn't you look at other land? Why didn't you look at the land behind the water department? That was specifically brought up, that somebody wanted to know why we didn't look for a standalone district building with just the prudential offices behind the water department. Why didn't we? So there's a couple. I think that the main reason was when this started, the company was told, we bought the property next to the fire station with the intent of putting district offices there. That was the intent the district voted on. That's what they wanted to do. When we talked to the architects, they said, yeah, we could put it anywhere you want to put it, but it's the building needs X number of square foot. And we, you know, there's a going rate for, you know, if such and such a square foot per building. It doesn't matter if you put it there or put it behind the water department. It's still, they're looking at 4,000 square feet. It's still so many square feet. Beyond the water department is wetlands, well field reclamation area. So there's some significant building concerns, I think, that would come up as a result of being on well field. So that would probably increase the price. The water department has no handicap parking, no handicap access. That would all be recreated. By putting it on the existing property that they proposed next to the fire station, they can use the existing parking, which is brand new. They have handicap parking, handicap access, handicap bathrooms, and they can use the existing septic systems, they believe. They're pretty sure they can use all the same septic systems, so the building needs no new septic, doesn't need handicap access, doesn't need handicap parking. I think there's a lot of cost benefits to putting it there. The architects, after we talked with, after this meeting, said, you're not going to save any money going anywhere else. So it's the same money to put it there. We have some savings by utilizing joint area. The fire and the Prudential can utilize the same training room, the same conference rooms. They can share all that rather than have separate ones. And one of the biggest reasons is just efficiency of operations. We work, I and Chris Dolly work with the treasurer and assistant treasurer every day. We're bouncing numbers and budget stuff back and forth and bills back and forth every day. We could certainly do work somewhere else. And if the district wants to not go with this and find a different place for the treasurer and assistant treasurer, that's fine. We can certainly do our job by email or by electronic, but there is an efficiency to working in the same building next to somebody.
Mm-hmm. But also, Ed, when the property next to the station was purchased, there was an extended conversation ahead of and during that annual meeting about the utility of having it in proximity to the station, and that was one of the reasons and the concerns you raised about the other properties by the water department. That was the persuasive argument about why the district voted to buy that property in the first place. So I had less concern after that presentation about the ideas that were floated about options of other locations. What was of concern that struck me in that meeting is that, and this you had, Kevin, you had anticipated this, whether you knew it or not, but when we were asked about what would it cost for the renovations that the station itself needs, separate from any municipal building, in light of both the 30 years since the place been renovated and the new OSHA regulations, and we don't have that those numbers as an independent set of numbers to say, even if this whole scheme goes by the wayside, we still have a significant problem with renovations that are required and space reassignment within the station.
Right, because I understand that the state staff would start asking for some compliance.
Right, well, we lose the whole second floor. For one thing, so now we've got the chief, the treasurer, and the assistant treasurer with no office. The current utilized space, the kitchen area, is basically a gut job.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nice things in the new plan that I liked about in terms of the station is that we pick up a small decontamination room in there that we don't have anything that even vaguely approximates that right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so, by.
I'm not answering that question. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering.
Yeah, no, and I think next time we do this, the architects, I think, are going to be there for the Civic Association meeting, and they are more prepared to answer these questions than I was, obviously. So.
I've lived through this for many years in Sudbury, and this stuff is a hard sell.
Yeah, well, it might be. And it's, there's. You know, we've got some compliance issues we have to deal with. So there is some different options. So
that's maybe the only card that sort of wins the day. So
maybe.
Have to,
yeah. It might come down to numbers, dollars and cents. When we get that number back next month and we look at tax rate increase and other stuff, and how the debt's going to be paid for and how the other debt's maturing and being paid off, it may make a decision for us. I don't know.
So, Chief, going back to what Commissioner Pisano said a second ago and we talked about, do we have, I thought we said that the architects might be able to give us an estimate.
Yeah, I talked briefly to them. I think we're talking about $150,000, but I don't have any really good firm numbers. We need to gut the kitchen. We need to bring, if the treasurer and assistant treasurer go elsewhere and we just put ourselves on that facility and don't increase our square footage, which we can live with, we've got to gut the kitchen, we've got to repaint, new floors. A lot of the doors don't really shut anymore. We need some hardware doors. We're looking at about $150,000. But I guess get a builder in, or I'll get some more firm numbers. I'll get someone to put something down in writing and put their name to it.
We also need additional numbers about the fact that we can't just assume that the treasurer and assistant treasurer go away. And we can't assume that you're going to be running your business out of the new kitchen. We have to have numbers that reflect what the building needs going forward as an independent operation. But unless we have a separate scheme for renting office space somewhere for the treasurer and assistant treasurer.
That's one of our options. I mean, the district might have to rent space somewhere. They might have to put a double wide trailer in somewhere. I mean, there's not a lot of other good options here.
But as far as the facility goes, for the fire department itself. So there's the cost to bring it up to spec.
Yes.
There's the question of an office for you, which frankly, in that case, you'd move into Chris Dolly's office.
Yep, and she'd move out front. Yep.
And she'd move out front.
We could make that work. Yep.
Right, we'd have to make that work.
We'd have to.
So what we'd have to look at then in that case is truly what those numbers are to fix the facility now. And until, I said it before and you referenced it, until we know that, it's a very hard conversation to have. Because it's just like, why?
Yep. Oh.
Give me a reference.
Okay. I will get numbers that someone's willing to, an architect's willing to put their name onto, and we'll go from there. So my guess is $150,000, but it's a guess after talking to the architects, but no one's really committed and put it in writing, so.
Yeah, I think that would be a light estimate.
Yeah.
And Chief, by the way, you've contributed significantly to design with the architects, given them some good insight, provided them some design yourself. So the fact of the matter is, I think what I've seen on paper looks fantastic, and I think you should be commended for your efforts in putting that, putting the work
into that. It's a team effort. Thanks. I've talked to all the staff, and we've all contributed ideas, and I just put it down on paper for the architects to look at and review. And they've had a whole bunch of different drawings, all very similar. So.
Have they come back on the HVAC yet? For the
amount
it can handle?
Nope. No. By next, I think that the idea is by mid April to come back with HVAC estimations, engineers. They send it out to all the engineering companies and they'll estimate the cost on everything, HVAC, all the other components too.
Right. No, I didn't know. I know we had a conversation whether the current one would last.
I still don't know that. That's.
But it sounds sounds like the septic will be.
Sounds like the septic's good. We have two new septic systems, and the question is whether we use both of them or we can depend on one of them. So, but it sounds like we will not need new septic for the building, which would be a big savings.
Very positive. Yep. Thank you.
I've got the PowerPoint for that if anybody wants to see it, or it's on the cloud too. So, okay. And it'll be updated with some suggestions of changing stuff. So the next time it's done, it'll be stuff added to it, and I'll get it to you ahead of time. Do we need budget now, or what's next there?
Yeah. That's next on the hit list.
Is it? Okay. You guys have got the budget PowerPoint, which I can put up the screen if you want it. You don't. You can turn around if you want. I don't know. So the one you have?
Am I looking at someone
wrong? No, you're not. That's got the old salary. Is it okay if I put it on the screen?
Sure.
If I put it on the screen, I can change Chris Dolly's salary to the 51, and now we've got real numbers. It's different than what you have. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, but that's mine, yep.
The educational incentive line in there, that is all by contract. The Yes. The contract, as negotiated, reinstituted educational incentives that had been gone, and it's a two-tiered structure. There, the older guys are grandfathered in under an older set of rules. The newer people all come under the terms of the new, or the most recent contract, and that's what this number reflects. And that's just straight.
You want to look at that screen?
By the book, based
we've
on.
We've got everybody. We've got Excel spreadsheets. Everybody's pay and everybody's change in step raises and all their change in vacations, and these are actual numbers that reflect the contract. So they're exact numbers.
And they're not having good.
So the educational incentive changed. Before the contract was signed a year and a half ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
We only had educational incentive for the top three or four people.
It's a three-year deal.
Yep. And was signed a year and a half ago. And before that was signed, only the, I think, top three or four people. The top four senior people had any kind of educational incentive for college education. So the contract, the new contract that was signed, provided educational incentive on a much lower rate for all other staff. And they get $2,500 for an associate degree. And if they are, if they're either a lieutenant or on the active promotional list, they'll get $4,000 for a bachelor degree.
You mean like going and getting it? Is it a change of one's
if you have a bachelor's degree in fire-related, a fire or emergency management-related field. So if they're educated in a field that contributes to the success of the Cotuit Fire Department, then they get compensated for that. Every department does that. I think every department. If you're better trained, you get more money. That's incentive to go get educated and hopefully work your way up the chain of command, and hopefully one will take my job. That makes sense?
It makes sense.
So the reason it's much higher this year than it was last year, this is the second year of the contract, is that $4,000 takes effect with the promotional list. So we have to give it per contract, we have to give a promotional list this spring, promotional test. So given a promotional test this spring, and I think there's five or six people taking it, and I think five of the six have bachelor's degrees. And if they pass this test, they go from $2,500 a year to $4,000 a year. So that's one of the reasons, the big increase. We had one lieutenant that got his bachelor's degree. We had another firefighter that got his associate's degree. So these are exact dollars and cents. It's worst case. So if they all fail the promotional exam, that number is not going to be used. But
we have to budget for what it could potentially hit.
And those are exact numbers. They're down to the penny for what we're going to be on the hook for per the contract. Well, it's the educational incentive for the new employees is probably lower than the average for the industry. It's not the top five people are they've got a really good educational incentive. The senior people, they've grandfathered in and they got it, and it's what it is. But the one that these guys bargained was I think very fair.
Very modest.
It was fair and honest, and not by any means the highest in the industry.
There were many different components to that contract. That was one of them, and that was an appropriate solution to what the contract what we were looking at.
So, how often do you hire a firefighter who doesn't have a bachelor's degree?
How often? I've only hired one full-time firefighter since I got here, and he had a bachelor's degree. But he's not even eligible for this because he can't take the test until he's been here 5 years. So he gets $2,500 a year because he can't even be on the list till he's been here 5 years.
What is the incentive supposed to incentivize someone to do?
What
get another bachelor's degree? I don't understand.
Imagine it instead of a change when you're already hired. Imagine if you're recruiting,
yeah,
and you get an applicant with much more training and higher level of education. Do you expect you're going to pay them more?
Yeah, but this seems like it's an incentive for doing something once you have the job.
Well, it's also, it's both.
You like get another certification or another
yes.
degree or something like that, as opposed to
yes,
something you had coming into the job.
We pay for college education, so if they want to go get a degree in fire science or emergency management so that they can work their way up the chain of command and get management, more manager experience, we pay them to go and then reward them for it.
I understand changing one's sort of credentials once one has a job, but it sounds to me like it's, if I have a bachelor's degree, I get some other rate for, I don't know.
Yes,
it sounds,
this is true. Yeah, so we just hired.
If I may interject,
yes, please.
There's many components to a contract. This happens to be one of them, right? And there's a lot of pieces that go into it. The education to improve themselves is part of the job, and also at the end of the day, part of the conversation becomes retention, right? So when you look at people and you look at the overall contract, this happens to be one area that's jumping out because of how we reworded the contract.
I'll say
redid the contract
because we.
If you would like to, if I may finish, if you would like, be more than happy to sit down with the contract and go through what the terms and conditions are.
No, so a random person comes in and says, holy shit, where did this come from? You're spending a lot of money in training elsewhere. But that's the effect that this has. It's like, it's just a holy shit moment for people. You know, where did this come from? Oh, it's in the contract. So it's clever contract writing. That was my comment. You guys jumped on me about that. It's just, I'm just telling you that wow. Okay.
I got you.
It's not training. This is just payment for if you have a degree. So
yeah, we also pay them for training.
We do pay them to get trained too, yes. Yes.
Part of the conversation that comes into here is also what the percentage of increase they're getting annually as well.
Kevin, I understand that this is mandated. We can't change it. I'm just like, okay. It was a surprise for me to see it because I didn't know it was coming. Nothing I can do about it.
What else? Longevity pay stay the same. Admin assistant, we talked about that. Training money, I increased that by, we increased that by, no, that's not training money, that's incident response. So incident response increased by $4,000, and that's based on what we were looking at this year. It's a little high, so we're going to be a little over budget, so we figured we'd budget $4,000 extra there. That's 5% increase. I'll tell you exactly what it was. So education, permanent incident. So permanent incident projected for this year is going to be $79,000. Which is 108% of budgeted, so we're looking at upping it to 78,000 from the 74 last year. Training money, we left exactly the same. We will not expend all that. That's a lot of, some of that is just in case we have to hire someone to send the academy, so the money's there just in case, so we will not increase that. What is that? Vacation coverage. That went up 6%. So based on the amount of vacation people, the steps they change and the amount of vacation, we budget for them using their vacation at the average overtime rate. So that goes up, and that's the exact number off. It's just a spreadsheet, 6%, $6,000. Sick coverage, we level funded. Personal coverage, people get 48 hours personal time a year. We budget it at the average overtime rate. Holiday pay is an exact number. It's just what it is. That goes up based on salary increases. It's all contractual. So the next one that's probably the most discussion here is firefighter other. So firefighter other was budgeted for $10,000 this year. It was meant for paying someone to bring a fire truck up to get fixed, or bringing someone in to help fix the front steps, or whatever, anything other than coverage for someone that's out on sick, vacation, personal, holiday, anything else like that. We had a situation this year where we had someone out on extended administrative leave. It didn't fit into any other category, so we stuck in another. As a result, we've expended currently about $26,000, so we're over budget. The inclination, Commissioner Pisano and I talked, was to put some more money in the account. The other thing it's used is to cover me when I'm away on, if I'm out of the country or out of the state, Lieutenant Pouliot takes my place and they cover a extra person on his shift so he's available to stay in district. So that comes out of that account.
Chief?
Yes.
Why would that come out of that account versus vacation coverage account specifically?
We could. Vacation coverage is the vacation day, so they don't cover me in vacation, but they kind of sort of do, I guess. We could certainly pull it out of the account. It really doesn't.
I never thought about that.
I just figured when a firefighter is on vacation, we cover someone back overtime, hour for hour. When I'm away, they don't. They give the senior lieutenant to my car, and when the shifts he works, they put an extra person on so he doesn't have to get stuck on the ambulance and leave the district and have nobody here. Yeah, that's a good question. We can certainly take it out of that account. It really.
I'm just asking an observation.
Yeah, we don't have extra money in that account. We're looking to increase it anyway, so yeah, you're right. There's no reason we can't take it out of that. That's kind of the same thing.
But it doesn't change the overall numbers.
No, I didn't. Right.
No, it's just, no. You know, under here.
Not the same numbers. At the end of the day, it doesn't. As long as you don't overspend salary, it doesn't matter if one account's negative and one account's positive. It's
right.
You just can't use salary money for operations and operation money for salary. That's the only real rule here. And we honestly make our best honest effort to try to put the right number in each account.
This year we just had some unexpected administrative leave to cover. So we can put more money in the account to cover it, or we can take a chance that it won't happen next year. That was the projector keeping on or off. In the past, this account has been huge. They used to take all kinds of training money out of there. They took storm coverage out of there. So we last year put the storm coverage back in there. So we now, if the storm coverage, it comes out of emergency labor. And they used to put firefighter training at the academy out of there, and we took that out and put that in training, so where it belongs. So that's why we budgeted at $10,000. In past years, there was 80 and 50 to 25 one year, 80 plus thousand the other years. So it's certainly, I mean, right now we're at 5.0% in salaries. If you lower that number, obviously it goes down. For the year, operations are all zero, so for our total overall budget, we're at 4.2. You want to know what it would be if we lower that account?
Can you raise this a little bit?
Scroll
the other way there. Thank you.
So how did this go from 4.1 to 5.0?
Because that was
the executive assistant position salary.
I mean, do you want to know what it looks like if we level fund that account? Or that
it had been 4.90.
Yeah.
Anytime a call went out, they would tone out and anybody off duty could come in for standby. And that's what paid for that labor. 3-4 months back, I brought a request to you guys to change that. So from now on, we only request extra standby back if we need them.
Right.
If the duty crew is going to be tied up more than 20 minutes. So that could well, that probably will shrink significantly over the next year. But we right now we're over for the year, but we just recently changed that. So we'll see if that takes a dent in it. Hopefully, it's got it.
There's not many other dials, too.
Yeah. We budgeted 74 last year. Do we have a project for this current year? Do we have a projection where we're going to end up?
For which incident permit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have mine written down.
So right now, it's in the permanent, we're projected as almost $80,000.
My mother.
I'm getting email and all these things. My dad has that. So, but it's probably going to be a little less because it's projected annually, so we're more slow part of the year.
Say it again.
We're talking about incident permanent.
Yeah.
Commissioner Pizano asked what we're projected. I mean, right now we're projected at 180% of the budgeted, so we're projected, we budget 74. We're expected, if we're evenly distributed to standby throughout the year, we would be projected at almost $80,000, which is $6,000 over. Now, we're also in the slow part of the year, so there's no reason to expect it to evenly distributed over the year. So we're probably going to be right about 100%. We're probably going to be right at $74,000 for the year.
No, that's the projection.
If we
burn rate that we've already
the same rate the first half of the year,
then it would be the seasonality.
Yes. Of course, yeah, we're much busier in the summer than the winter, so. Yeah. But this projection doesn't take that into account. It assumes that even distribution throughout the year. So if you, which says 108%, but probably we're going to be right, we're going to be at 100%. We're probably going to meet that. So we could, you know, next year, given that we changed the policy and we're not calling back as much, we could level up that. We could drop that down to 74 from $78,000. If that's something that we wanted to do.
Well, we have two steps. If one of these categories ends up being significantly underfunded, we move any surplus we can find from any other line item for as long as we can. We can squeak it out, and we get lucky.
We can run a line item naked, just as long as the end of the day, it's over.
Right. If we, as we get close to the end of the fiscal year, if we are not going to be able to squeeze, because as the chief said earlier, we can't take from operations, so then we would end up in the circumstance of going to Prudential and asking either for coverage out of, what's that fund called, Fran? If we come back to you and if you don't have it, then we would have to call for a special meeting, right? But that would be the two steps. If Prudential had a way to cover us on a shortfall, or you end up in a special meeting.
I mean, the important number is the bottom number. Because the bottom number says, projected to hit 92% of total salaries. So we're going to be under budget of salaries. We budgeted 101.6 million. And we're projected right now at 1.48.
What happens if we change that to 74,000?
Oh, on that one? That's a 4.83%.
You think that would help with the sticker shock phenomenon?
We drop, you want to see what the other firefighter can change that to see if that does or not.
What's that? I think we're going to apply.
All right, so if we do, you want to look at the other and we drop that back to 10, what do we do, or 15?
What happens if you go to 25?
Overall increase now is 3.48%. 2.2 for the salaries, 3.28, and our overall budget is 2.71 decrease. You show me, first of all, what actually works. This is all guesses. This is, I don't give a hurricane this year and blow this whole thing out of the water. I don't. I could have, you know, knock on wood, people go out injured next year, and this doesn't budget for that.
We don't want to put...
Full time injury, you budget $55,000 a year. There have been years it's been almost $200,000.
We don't want to put the taxpayer in a position of having to pay more than is necessary. But we also don't want to come up short in an emergency having to try to cover the cost. So you're walking this tightrope. And I'm hoping for the best.
We've been really lucky this year. Everybody's been really healthy. As you can see, injury firefighter, there have been years of $195,000. The next year it was almost $78,000. We only budget $55,000 a year. I hope we never use it, but one hurricane, you know, this budget shot. So, I was just, that was more of a point. Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't know, we have to have a stunt final for it. Just, what do we do, final sign off?
More has to be done 30 days before the
So mid-April?
What day is the week?
29th.
So we can always leave some of these numbers where we might have and wait until the treasurer comes back with some of the predictions on tax rates and then adjust if needed. I think that's a
key data point that we have to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would.
That's a reasonable tax rate increase.
In juggling the bet on this, I'm not easy with leaving that at 10,000.
Well, sure.
Yeah, leave it at 25. And as you say, once the treasurer gives us some input about proposed impact on tax rates, we can come back and revisit some of these where we're trying to make a guess and see if there's something we can do that would. If it's going to be a bad impact, if we can soften it somehow and just hope for the best.
Right. Mm-hmm. The vacation coverage, 6%. I mean, people just look at big percent increases like that.
Well, the vacation coverage is higher for a couple of different reasons. Some people have increased vacation because they didn't increase steps and all at the same time. It's just salary increase, so it's completely different. I bet it's every person's salary on vacation schedule.
Yeah, no, you walked me through that the other day.
Yeah.
And operations and maintenance are basically level funded.
Yeah, we're doing fairly well in all those categories right now. And a lot of them are underspent right now because we do our best to wait for the second half of the year to spend those accounts, just in case there's some emergency we don't know about. We have planned stuff we need, but we put it up in one account.
Right, so it's like with the old truck and this latest little surprise.
If
we didn't have that money from the warrant, we would be scrambling in these line items trying to figure out what the heck to do. But
alright. Well, that's a good exercise. Does that seem reasonable then? We'll stick with that for a draft or for the draft?
Yeah, well.
I dropped it down, push it back up, but we'll be having it at 78.
No, I think we leave it at this until we get more input from the treasurer about what he can discern about impact on tax rates.
Yeah.
I think that's the most responsible.
Can I go back to apparatus real quick? I'm sorry.
Hmm?
Can I go back to apparatus real quick?
Yeah.
Mm. I did have a meeting with the harbor master about the boat dock.
Oh.
A dock for our boat. Still currently using a private dock. We had a conversation with harbor master and assistant harbor master, who were very supportive of either expanding the town dock with an expanded float or expanding the Katuit Mosquito Yacht Club dock with their permission to have a spot there. They were going to do some follow up with their department and see with their staff which one they could support and what the best chances were. I haven't heard back from them, but found out that there is a scheduled hearing, Fran found out, at the town councilors. Town councilors, the town managers actually proposed spending $75,000 on a design for an expanded Katuit town dock. So they're going to be voting on that, I think, the 4th of April 4th?
No.
Okay, they're going to be voting on expending $75,000 of town money to design an expanded Katuit town dock. So,
for what purpose, Chief, do you know?
There already was some money set aside for studying a increased, either new or in a large dock in the Three Bays area. But that I hadn't heard where that was kind of, that hadn't really been decided where that's going to be. There's some talk about Osterville. So I don't know, I'm not sure where this came out of. This is kind of a surprise. So I've asked the harbor master for some input as to what's going on. I don't have an answer, but it could be because of our request. So I'm waiting to find out about that.
So my suggestion is waiting is not a good thing here, because
yes,
we need to find out what exactly they plan before a vote comes up and something gets voted and said, okay, we're expanding it by this amount and we're going to put more dinghies on it.
Right.
We need to make sure that whatever they vote for.
No, I just found out about this, I think,
no,
Monday.
I
emailed them Monday. I said, what's going on? So I've emailed them with a request and I haven't got a response yet. So if I don't get it back the next day or so, I'll go down and bang on the door and ask them.
Perfect.
They know, so. But yeah, no, we can't get to be on top of that.
And
any feedback you get, if you can kick that
sure
around, I'm sure we would all want to know as quickly as possible.
Let
and
you know.
For anyone who can, I think that if you can pencil in that date, it would be possible to show up for that
yeah,
vote.
What was that date again?
28th.
So there
yeah,
it says under the request, it says appropriation to transfer order in the amount of $75,000 for the purpose of funding the design and permitting to the existing Katuit Town Dock as outlined in the fiscal year 2020 fiscal year 2024 capital improvement plan. And this is refer to public hearing 4/4/19. Did we refer to? Yeah, in the bottom of parentheses it says refer to public hearing 4/4/19.
21st.
Is that, so does it mean referred to that meeting? Is that what that means? Yeah, so it's April 4th. Public hearing is what it's going to be heard on.
So it's April 4th?
Yeah, I'll forward this to
Tony.
And it's a 7 o'clock start, I would assume, 7 p.m.?
I'll find out. I'm not 100% sure. Okay.
All right. I need to stand up myself, so I'm going to move that we adjourn.
Second.
Favor, Pisano.
Conley,
please.